Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at some fascinating insights from Dr. John Oswalt's lectures on the Book of Kings. And we're going to take a close look at the relationship between the prophets Elijah and Elisha and how that relationship kind of speaks to the idea of spiritual inheritance. Like, how do we carry on the legacy of those who came before us, you know?
It's interesting that you focus on that because Dr. Oswalt does point out that so much of the attention, you know, goes to the driving events like parting of the Jordan, Elijah ascending in a whirlwind, that we kind of miss the significance of the journey itself.
I'm curious about that journey. Like, what makes it so important in understanding this, like, transfer of spiritual authority?
Well, think about where Elijah and Elisha travel, right? Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and finally the Jordan River. These locations directly mirror the Israelites' journey into the Promised Land under Joshua.
So it's not just like some random road trip. It's a deliberate echo of like a pivotal moment in Israel's history. So what are we supposed to understand from that parallel?
Dr. Oswalt suggests it's like a symbolic restarting of Israel's spiritual journey. You know, remember, this is a time of great turmoil and apostasy in the Northern Kingdom, and these prophets are leading the people back to their roots, back to the covenant with God.
So they're retracing the steps of their ancestors, both physically and spiritually. That's powerful imagery. But Dr. Oswalt also mentioned something that seems a bit off. He says that they went down to Bethel, but Bethel is geographically uphill from Gilgal. What's going on there?
The detail that has puzzled scholars for centuries, it's possible that this refers to a different Gilgal than the one associated with Joshua.
Yeah.
There are actually several places with that name mentioned in the Bible, or it could be like a literary device highlighting a spiritual descent, even as they physically ascend.
So even in this seemingly minor detail, there's a deeper layer of meaning waiting to be uncovered. I love that about these ancient texts. There's always more to discover.
Absolutely. And that's what makes studying the scriptures so rewarding. You know, It's a lifelong process of digging deeper, asking questions, and wrestling with the text.
Speaking of wrestling, there's another detail that stood out to me three times. Elijah tells Elisha to stay behind, and three times Elisha refuses. What do you make of that exchange?
It seems clear that this was more than just Elijah trying to get rid of, like, a clingy follower. Dr. Oswalt suggests these were tests, intentional challenges to reveal Elisha's commitment to the prophetic ministry.
It makes you wonder what was going through Elisha's mind at the time. Did he ever feel tempted to just give up and go home?
Maybe. But his response is powerful. He says, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." There's a sense of unwavering dedication there, a recognition that this is bigger than his own personal comfort or ambition. You know, he's committed to the mission, to following his mentor and learning from him.
That unwavering commitment is something I think a lot of people can relate to, whether it's in their careers, their relationships, or their spiritual lives. We all face challenges, moments where we're tempted to give up. But there's something inspiring about seeing someone like Elisha persevere even when it's tough.
Absolutely. And I think it speaks to the importance of having like a strong sense of purpose, a guiding vision that keeps you going when the going gets tough.
And speaking of support, there's another group of characters that appear in this story. The sons of the prophets, who were these guys and what was their role?
They're a bit of a mystery, appearing only during the time of Elijah and Elisha. Dr. Oswalt theorizes that they were like a kind of support network, a community of younger prophets who learned from and assisted these two great figures.
So it's like they had a built-in cheering section, a group of people who understood the challenges they were facing and could offer encouragement and support.
Exactly. And Dr. Oswalt makes an interesting observation about the importance of community. He quotes a proverb that says, "Coal taken out of the fire will quickly burn out." The idea being that we need each other, that we thrive in community, especially when we're engaged in difficult or demanding work.
It makes me wonder if Elijah and Elisha would have been as effective without this community supporting them.
It's hard to say for sure, but I think it highlights the fact that even the most extraordinary individuals still need others. You know, we're not meant to go it alone.
That's a powerful message, and one that I think resonates with all of us. We all need people in our lives who believe in us, encourage us, and remind us that we're not alone in the struggles we face.
Absolutely. And that leads us to what might be the most pivotal moment in this story. Elijah's final act before being taken up in a whirlwind. He offers Elisha one request, anything he desires. What do you think goes through Elisha's mind at that moment?
I imagine it must have been overwhelming. What do you ask for when anything is possible?
And that's where it gets really fascinating, because Elisha doesn't ask for wealth, power, or fame. He asks for something much deeper, a double portion of Elijah's spirit.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Break that down for me. What does that request actually mean?
It goes back to the concept of inheritance in ancient Israel. The firstborn son received a double portion of the father's inheritance. So Elisha isn't asking to be twice as powerful as Elijah or to have twice as many miracles. He's asking to be his spiritual heir to inherit the essence of his ministry and his connection with God.
So it's about continuing the legacy, carrying on the work that Elijah started.
Precisely. And that's where we see the true depth of Elisha's commitment. He's not just interested in the outward trappings of power or fame. He's after something much more profound. He wants to tap into the source of Elijah's power, that deep connection with the divine that fueled his ministry.
That raises an interesting question for me. What does it mean for us today to inherit the spirit of someone? How do we cultivate that kind of deep connection with the divine that Elisha was seeking?
That's a question worth exploring further, and I think it's one that Dr. Oswald would encourage us to wrestle with. But first, I think we need to unpack what this double portion of the spirit actually entails. What does it look like to receive that kind of spiritual inheritance?
All right, I'm ready to dive deeper. Let's unpack it. So we're talking about Elisha asking for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, right? Wanting to be his spiritual heir. But what does that inheritance actually look like? What does it mean to receive that kind of spiritual empowerment?
Well, it's not about like a literal transfer of power as if the spirit were some kind of quantifiable substance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember, Dr. Oswald emphasizes that salvation, and by extension, the spiritual inheritance, is about relationship, not position.
So it's less about inheriting specific abilities or gifts and more about inheriting a way of being, a way of relating to God.
Exactly. Think about it this way, right? We often talk about inheriting traits from our parents, maybe a talent for music, a certain personality quirk, even a physical resemblance. But those traits are expressions of something deeper, a shared genetic code that connects us to our lineage.
So the double portion of the spirit is like inheriting a spiritual DNA, a deeper connection to the source of Elijah's power and inspiration.
That's a great analogy. It's about inheriting a way of seeing the world, a way of hearing God's voice, a way of responding to the challenges and opportunities that life throws at you. And it's not something that happens automatically. You know, it requires intentionality cultivation and a willingness to surrender to something bigger than yourself.
That makes sense. But I'm also curious about the fact that Elijah doesn't just grant Elisha's request outright. He says, "You have asked a difficult thing. Why is it so difficult to pass on this spiritual inheritance?"
Because it's not a transaction, you know, like a simple handoff of power. It's about cultivating a relationship with the divine. It's like the difference between learning a recipe from a cookbook and learning to cook alongside a master chef.
Yeah.
You know, the recipe can give you the steps, but the true learning comes from the relationship.
Right.
From observing the master's techniques, understanding their intuition, and developing your own skills through practice and guidance.
So Elisha isn't just asking for a quick download of spiritual knowledge. He's embarking on a journey of discipleship, a process of becoming like his mentor by immersing himself in the same spiritual practices and seeking the same source of guidance.
Exactly. And that's why Elijah gives Elisha a sign, a way to discern whether he's truly received this double portion. He tells him, "If you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours."
Wait, so he's not talking about literal sight. What does it mean to see Elijah being taken?
It's about spiritual vision, you know, about perceiving the world through the lens of faith, about recognizing the hand of God at work, even in the midst of the extraordinary work. It's about understanding that true power doesn't reside in outward displays or miraculous abilities, but in that deep, unshakable connection with the divine.
That makes me think about the challenges we face today in a world bombarded with information and conflicting perspectives. You know, it seems more important than ever to cultivate that kind of spiritual vision, to be able to discern truth from falsehood, to see through the noise and distractions and get to the heart of what matters.
Absolutely. And that's why Elisha's story is so relevant for us today. It's not just a tale of ancient prophets performing miracles. It's a roadmap for cultivating spiritual depth, for seeking that double portion of the spirit that empowers us to live lives of purpose, meaning, and impact.
You mentioned a roadmap. I like that. So if we're trying to follow in Elisha's footsteps to cultivate that same kind of spiritual vision, where do we even begin?
Well, I think one of the first steps is recognizing that this is a journey, not a destination. It's not about achieving some kind of spiritual perfection or mastery. It's about continually seeking, growing, and deepening our connection with the divine.
It's like that saying, the journey is the destination.
Exactly. And that journey involves both inner work practices like prayer, meditation, study, and reflection, and outer work, engaging with the world in a way that aligns with our values, serving others, and working for justice and peace. It's about integrating our spiritual lives with our everyday actions and choices.
It sounds like a lifelong process of transformation.
It is, but it's also incredibly rewarding. As we cultivate this spiritual vision, we begin to see the world differently. We see the interconnectedness of all things, the beauty in the ordinary, the potential for good, even in the midst of darkness and difficulty.
And that shifting perspective can have a ripple effect, influencing not just our own lives, but the lives of those around us.
Absolutely. It's like Elisha parting the Jordan River with Elijah's cloak. It's a demonstration of the power that comes from aligning ourselves with the divine, from tapping into that double portion of the spirit that empowers us to do things we never thought possible.
Okay, so we've talked about the significance of Elisha's request and the importance of cultivating spiritual vision, but there's still the actual moment of Elijah's departure. He's taken up in a whirlwind, leaving Elisha behind. What happens next? How does Elisha prove he's received this double portion of the spirit?
Well, as you might expect, there's a pretty dramatic demonstration of power. But more importantly, it highlights a key point Dr. Oswalt makes about the nature of spiritual inheritance. It's not about replicating the exact feats of your predecessor, but about carrying on their legacy in a way that is authentic to your own calling and context.
I'm eager to hear more about that. Tell me about this demonstration of power and how it fits into this idea of carrying on a legacy. All right, so Elisha's now like alone, right? His mentor has like ascended in a whirlwind. So what does he do next?
Well, he picks up Elijah's cloak, you know, the mantle that symbolizes the prophetic office. And he strikes the Jordan River with it, just as Elijah had done earlier in the story. And guess what?
The waters part.
Exactly. It's a powerful visual echo of Elijah's miracle. And it seems to confirm that Elijah has indeed received that double portion of the spirit. But here's where things get really interesting. Dr. Oswald points out that it's not about, you know, like one-upping Elijah or proving that Elisha is somehow more powerful.
So it's not a competition, but like a continuation.
It's exactly. It's about it demonstrating that the prophetic ministry doesn't end with Elijah. It's passed on.
Mm-hmm.
It's about carrying on the legacy, but in a way that is authentic to Elisha's own calling and personality.
I'm starting to understand this idea of spiritual inheritance in a new light. It's not about mimicking someone else's actions or trying to fit into their mold. It's about taking what you've learned, what you've inherited, and using it to forge your own path.
Precisely. And that's what makes this story so powerful and relevant for us today. We all have mentors, teachers, or role models who have inspired us, who have passed on their wisdom and experience. But it's up to us to take what they've given us and make it our own.
So the question isn't, how do I become the next Elijah, but rather, how do I take the spirit of Elijah, that commitment, that vision, that connection with the divine, and integrate it into my own unique journey?
That's a great way to put it. And I think that's what Dr. Oswalt is ultimately challenging us to consider. What spirit are we seeking to inherit? What legacy are we striving to carry on? And how are we using our gifts, our talents, and our experiences to make a difference in the world?
Those are huge questions, but they're also incredibly empowering. It's like, we're all called to be prophets, in a sense, to speak truth, to challenge injustice, and to live lives that reflect the values we hold dear.
Absolutely. And the beautiful thing is we don't have to do it alone. You know, we have each other. We have the wisdom of those who have come before us. And most importantly, we have the spirit of the divine working within us and through us.
That's a powerful reminder. So as we wrap up our deep dive into the story of Elijah and Elisha, what's the one takeaway you hope our listeners will carry with them?
If I had to choose just one, it would be this. Don't underestimate the power of spiritual inheritance. It's not just about ancient stories or theological concepts. It's about a living, breathing connection to something bigger than ourselves, something that can empower us to live lives of purpose, meaning, and impact.
Beautifully said. It's like we're all part of this great chain of being connected to those who came before us and those who will come after. And it's up to us to keep that chain strong, to keep passing on the torch of wisdom, courage, and compassion.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into the legacy of Elijah and Elisha. But the conversation doesn't have to end here. We encourage you to keep exploring these ideas, to keep asking questions, and to keep seeking that deeper connection with the divine that can empower you to live a life of purpose and meaning.
And remember, you don't have to do it alone. There's a whole community of seekers, learners, and change makers out there ready to support you on your journey.
Until next time, keep diving deep, keep the faith, and keep passing on the torch.